Well, Marianne Ahern joins us from NBC5, and you can follow Marianne Ahern at Marianne Ahern NBC on Twitter. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
The passing of Cardinal George is certainly sad, but not unexpected. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's still, when you hear it, you do pause and say, ah, and think of 17 years that he had been in charge. It was, you know, it was a bit of a turbulent time for the church. He faced tough finances. There was the priest sex abuse and cultural trends that he did not agree with. So, but, you know, those are going to remember him, I think, many will, as someone constant. He did not change his mind, with a whim. You knew where he stood, and I think people appreciated that.
What do you, the position of his replacement will be now? In other words, was it tough to come into this for Blaise Cupich with a figure is the size of Cardinal George in place? Does it clear the way a bit for him now?
Oh, for sure. Yes. And I think that even the Cardinal at his last public appearance talked about the transition being quite smooth. I wouldn't look for Blaise Cupich to move into the Cardinal's residence. He doesn't want to live there. That wasn't just, I don't want to be there under his foot. He wants to be where he is at the rectory. But yes, and there is going that constant comparison, just as it was when George came, although Cardinal Bernardine had already passed away. There was a very much difference in style, and we're seeing that again now with Cupich as well, a different style.
Marianne, talk a little bit about, now tomorrow the Cardinal's body is being brought to the cathedral and kind of some of the rituals that go along with that, and the public will be allowed to a certain point and then not. Then it becomes private, right?
Right, and really the best way probably are different websites, the paper, I'm sure you all have it as well, but it will start tomorrow afternoon, I believe 1:30, 2 o'clock, there will be a public viewing, but Tuesday night the priests are invited. You know, and those are his employees. Those are the guys that knew him very well, that met with him many times. And they have not released yet who the speaker will be. I do believe the Archbishop is going to speak Tuesday night, but there might be others that knew him perhaps well and his time here in Chicago. Wednesday, they have invited the women religious as well as deacons to come, and there will be a different speaker that night. So really sort of a two-night wake. Overnight, Wednesday night, the cathedral will be open all night long. And then the funeral mass at noon on Thursday is ticketed only. I'm sure it will be broadcast as well. They haven't made those final plans just yet. But the speaker, the homilist, is chosen. They have not officially released, but several sources have told us it's the Archbishop of Seattle, Peter Starton.
And what would the connection there be?
He had been in Joliet before he came, before he was sent to Seattle. The connection would be, everyone believed he would be the one that if Cardinal George got to pick who his replacement would be, it would have been Sarton. And he is much more of his style. He is, you know, they hate those labels of liberal and conservative. And the Cardinal and even Cupich would say, oh, stop. But Sarton would be more in style with Cardinal George. He's also just been a part of a very big controversy. He was appointed by the Vatican to oversee American nuns. And that started with Benedict, and they thought that the nuns were becoming just too radical, too feminist. They had too, you know, what was going on here with the American nuns? And since Pope Francis has come in, they've quieted this whole investigation. In fact, it ended last week abruptly.
And really?
Everyone said, we're all good now. Don't worry about it. And, you know, we all listen to each other and we're good. So I think Peter Sarton actually comes out. He wasn't his choice. He was appointed to this commission. But I think he is viewed as someone who is a good listener and very diplomatic and more in the style of Cardinal George.
What do we know of the Vatican's thoughts on Cardinal George and his time in place? And what was the response after he passed?
Well, you know, it depends on who's in charge, of course. You know,
right.
He was John Paul II's guy. You know, that's who appointed him. And he knew him well and spoke to him and leaned on him. And during the beginning of his time as cardinal from 1997, I would say up until maybe just in the last couple of years, he was the go-to American cardinal. I mean, Cardinal George's intellect, he could debate with the best of them at, you name it, you know, U of C, Harvard, you whatever. He was a theologian, and folks knew that, and they knew to rely on him. And when the whole priest sex abuse crisis erupted, he was in Dallas. He was the guy in charge of the American bishops, the USCCB, and he's the one that demanded the zero tolerance. Now, unfortunately, what happened after that was the case of Daniel McCormack.
Right.
Now, would I want to have every decision I made under the microscope? Absolutely not. But that one, unfortunately, will be a part of his legacy.
Is it possible, had his health been better, he would have been a very serious candidate to become pope?
Wow. You know, I think the Americans like to think that, but the day that there's an American pope, I rather doubt it. But he, you know, many did think if there was ever going to be an American, because of his worldview. You know, he was a member of the Oblates of Mary, lived for 12 years in Rome, traveled the world, served the poor. I mean, he had all those credentials that people would look to. And so he wasn't someone that just, you know, had this little Chicago. I mean, we all think we're, you know, so important. And yet he saw the much bigger picture. Although Chicago, you know, the Chicago Archdiocese has been the place of change. This is where, and, you know, in fact, you know, folks used to write about it in the 70s and 80s before I was even a reporter. I imagine that. But that, you know, this is where they were a little more outspoken. You know, the lay people spoke up. The priests spoke up. Everybody said they had their peace. And Cardinal George came to that and had really, although he grew up here, had been gone since he was a high school student, 14, 15 years
right.
old.
Right. Who's he survived by? Is there?
He
I should know this. Is there a sister
in Grand Rapids? Yeah, one sister. She has four sons. Her husband passed away maybe a year or so ago, and the cardinal was able to travel there for the funeral. She had been in and out here with him over the last several weeks, but was not here Friday. She had just returned to Michigan, but had been here for about 10 days. And when he was named, we all, of course, dashed up to Grand Rapids to interview her, and she's quite lovely.
Well, you know, I can't speak for the Catholics since I am not a member, but it certainly seems that we were blessed to have the best of Cardinal George for an extended period of time, and I certainly hope the best is his legacy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, he had a stern exterior at times. I described him to people as the philosophy teacher you took in college that you knew you had to take him because he was the best teacher. And if you went to college and didn't, then you really had missed the boat. But, boy, you better come prepared because you knew
point.
What was up.
That's a great
we
point.
We question you. And you know what? I like to know where people stand. Who wants wishy-washy?
No. You want to know where people stand. And he was pretty good about access, too, in general, wasn't he?
Very much so. I said, you know, I covered the church way before I covered politics, and it was a great, you know, way to learn how to deal with folks. Because there was a time when the archdiocese closed the door, you know, wouldn't answer calls. I'm sure when they saw my number on their screen, went, oh, no, not her again. But, you know, we don't often call for positive. You hate to say it, but it's true.
Yeah.
We don't call to say, hey, is it a nice day again today? So there has been sort of this, oh, dear, you know, not her. But I thought he was extremely accessible. And can you imagine everyone asking every time, how's the chemotherapy going?
Oh,
you
God.
Know, plus, we forget it because he made nothing of it. He had polio and walked with braces on his legs since he was about 13.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing that he has endured the pain he has.
Yeah, tremendously
so
active.
Years.
Yeah, and a tremendously active job. Cardinal George, and it'll be a week of celebrations of his life and remembrances here. And you can also, of course, see a lot of that on NBC5 as well with Marianne Ahern at Marianne Ahern NBC on Twitter. And thanks for your time.
Thank you.
See ya. That's Marianne Ahern from NBC5. And we love Marianne. She's great.
She's the best. I love
She's
Marianne.
Great. And when she says that people don't like to see her number come up on caller ID, we don't mind.
We love it. Are you kidding me?
But, you know, if you've done something wrong and then it comes up on your caller ID, yeah, you should be frightened. Or in this case, just a general reporting of things, because she's great.